new things. So what did we learn on Wednesday? Anything somewhere looks familiar? Looking at this slide, what did we see? We entities, attributes, right? So last time we saw how to pick the entities and what are the different kind of attributes we can associate with the entities. And usually we saw what kind of attributes?
Simple.
Composite. Derived. Yes. So if this is so these are simple attributes like and one of you said derived. Then we saw key attribute. How do we put it? Like this, right? And we saw composite attribute. So name is a composite attribute where these are the constituent parts which are simple attribute. What else we saw? What is this?
Multi-valued
attribute. An employee can have multiple values for this attribute. Is there anything else I am missing? Derived it here. Stored, this is stored. This is simple and stored and single valued. All three at the same time. So this is we saw and we also saw last time the relationships. Do you remember? So so this is one of the example of relationship. What type of relationship it is? What is the degree? Is it binary, ternary? What kind of relationship it is? Some of you, it is binary. Why it is called binary? What does binary means? When there is something two, right? That's why we use the word binary. And here, what is two? There are two participating entity types. Two entities are participating in this relationship. That's why it is a binary relationship. If there are more than two, there may be three entities. We didn't see the example yet. But there can be a possibility where three entities are participating in the same relationship. And that relationship is called ternary relationship. We will see the example little later. And then when we establish the relationship, what are the things we need to specify with a relationship? Last time we studied two things about the relationship we need to specify. Yes. Cardinality ratios and participation. So in the cardinalities, we have different type of relationship. A relationship can be one-to-one, it can be one-to-many, or it can be many-to-many. So what is this one? This one-to-one? One-to-one means? Yeah, it is binary because two are participating. This is binary. But is it one-to-one? Let's check. An employee can work for one department. We wrote one here. A department can have one employee working for it. Is it correct?
No,
so it should be many here, right? So this is a one-to-many relationship. And what else we need to specify? Partial and total. Whether the entity, a particular entity, is participating as a total, all of the instance of that entity is participating in the relationship, or only some of them are participating, that means partially participating. So what is this? Let's see the participation of department. Is every department has employees working for it? Or can you find some department where there is no employee? No. So all department must have employees working for it. And that's why this is total here. Now let's read the same thing from this side. Does every employee work under department, or can you find some employees who are not working under any department? Again, depends on how you are looking at the problem. Usually the top level employee is not considered part of a department. But if we take out the top level, higher head of the organization, usually employees are related with some departments. So if we don't consider that head, then it is total. But if we consider head, then there is one employee who is not participating, and it doesn't matter whether one is not participating or many are not participating, it will still be partial. Okay? But right now we are not considering the head, and we are assuming that every employee has to be related with the department. And that's why it is total. So that's all we learned last time. Let's see some more things. Now we are coming to another type of relationship, which is called recursive relationship. What does recursive means to you? Forget in terms of database. When we use the word recursion, many of you who are in the programming, that word is used quite often in recursion. Recursion means something calling itself. It is the similar thing here also. When an entity is relating with itself, there is a relationship. We saw the example so far that there are different entities on different sides. But in this case, the same entity is on the left side as well as on the right hand side of the relationship. And this kind of relationships are called recursive relationship. Now, what can be the examples where this kind of relationship exists? It's a little confusing, but it will be clear in a moment. E7, E8. So usually in organization, we have such kind of hierarchical structures. People are working in different levels and they are supervised by some employees above them. And all of them at the end are employees, right? Even a person is head of an organization or at middle level management or working under this middle level management. In the end, all those are employees belonging to an employee entity, right? So here, some of these employees are supervising the other employees. And this is the relationship we are establishing here with the help of a recursive relationship. If we see the instance diagram, these are all the employees. Some of them are supervised by others and they themselves are supervised by someone else. So this is the relationship here. All E1 to E10 all exist here in the set of employees. That's what is entity type. It's the collection of entity of similar type. So here employee entity type is the collection of all the employee. And some of these employees supervises other employees. So the same entity is participating on both the side. Now let's see what can be the cardinality here. An employee who is a supervisor. So usually when we make the recursive relation, we usually write the roles. So the employee who are participating from the left hand side are paying or are fulfilling the roles of supervisors. And the employee who are participating from this side are playing the role of supervisees, those who are supervised by others. And here, those who are supervising others, right? Now let's see. What can be the cardinality here? Can you suggest? An employee who is a supervisor can supervise how many employees? Many. An employee who is a supervisee, that means supervised by someone else, can be directly supervised by how many supervisors? Directly supervised by how many people? The person whom this person will be answerable to. One, right? So it is one too many. What about cardinality? Because usually E10 doesn't have to answer E1. Right? They are usually answering to the next in line. What about the total partial? Supervisor side has total participation or partial? Is every employee a supervisor? No. Only some of the employees are participating from this side. So this will be partial. What about this side? Are all the employees supervised? Or can there be an employee who is not supervised by anyone? E1. So this side also, it is partial. Not everyone is participating from this side. Not every employee is participating from this side. So this is both side partial participation. Is it clear? I need to take a picture for remote students because they can't see this board. All right, let's think about other examples in this case. Okay, before coming to the next example, let's see what's written here in the book. A relationship type with the same participating entity type in distinct roles from both the sides. That's what we are doing. A relationship type which has the same entity participating from both sides in distinct roles. And that's why we write the roles to be more clear what we are trying to describe here. This is the example which is given here. And let's think about other examples of recursive relationship. Can you think? There is a very good example from your area, actually, what you people are doing, taking different courses. Can you think of a similar example? There are set of courses and some of these courses are prerequisite for other courses, isn't it? You have this kind of structure, right? You need to pass some courses in order to take other courses. If you don't pass the previous courses, you cannot take those other courses. So that is also a recursive relation. All those courses, whether they are the prerequisite courses or later level courses, are part of this set of courses, and some of those courses are prerequisite to other courses. Do you have any examples from your area? In your department, can you tell me the codes of those courses or just the names? Is it common here or not common? It's common, right? So same is here. Now, please try to identify the cardinality and total partial. And this time, I'm not really going to help you. I'm not going to ask the question. So you have to ask the question and figure out whether it is one-to-one, one-to-many, many-to-many, and which side is total or partial. You have a couple of minutes. Did you figure out? Last benches. Last bench. Did you figure out? Is it one to one, one to many, or many to many? Yes, which I asked a couple of minutes before. And I was thinking you could be able to figure out by now. Okay, anyone else? Yes. Many to many. Okay. Can you explain why it's many to many?
Because one course can be a prerequisite course can have several prerequisites.
That's correct. A particular course can be prerequisite to many courses. And a particular course which needs a prerequisite can have many courses as a prerequisite course. So basically, C1 is prerequisite to many courses and C2 has two courses as prerequisite. That's what we are showing here. A course has many prerequisite. A course can be prerequisite for many courses. And that's why it is many to many. What about partial and total? Are all courses prerequisite to some other courses? No. Does every course has a prerequisite? No. So this is partial from both the sides. So this is another example of recursive relationship. When you are making your assignment 1, because here we are discussing many different concepts, so I advise you to look for problems which has not 2-3 entities, at least 6-7 entities with different kind of attributes, with different kind of relationship, because the more vast and the more detailed your problem will be, you will be able to practice most of the things which we are going to discuss in coming weeks. So you will learn everything practically. So don't look for a very simple problem with just few entities with all binary relationship, but look for a little bit complicated, and if you don't have, try to extend it by your imagination. Okay, so we finished the recursive relationship and the next thing is weak entity type. So far all the entities we have seen had key attribute. Can you remember any of the entities we have seen so far didn't have a key attribute? We saw employee which had social security number as key attribute. Department has department code. Project has project number. Is there any other? We saw many vehicle ID. Driver, people, everybody, every entities we have seen so far had some key attribute. But there are some entities which doesn't have sufficient attributes to make up the key. And those entities are called weak entity types. So all the entities which we have seen so far are strong entity types because they had the key attribute. So what are these weak entity types? Okay, look at this example. This show an example of a weak entity type. Let's first try to understand why there are no attributes which can make up the key. Suppose for now that dependent has only three attributes. Name of the dependent, what kind of relationship is there between the employee and the dependent, and the date of birth of the dependent. And if we try to fill the data, most probably we will come up with something like this. So employee 1 has 2 dependent, and employee 2, let's suppose, also has 2 dependents. These are the names, this is the relationship, and these are the date of birth. Can you find any of these existing attribute having unique value in every row? These are rows, these are columns. Is dependent name can make the key? Is it possible that all the dependents of all the employees will have unique names?
No.
So, most probably the name will repeat. Most probably not for the same employee. Because most probably we don't have spouses and children with the same name. Or 2 children with the same name. We will call one and everybody will come running. Right? So, mostly for a particular employee, these values will be distinct. But there is a possibility that a dependent of one employee may have the same name with dependent of another employee. My husband's name can be same as somebody's son's name. It's a possibility. Similarly, relationship cannot make the key attribute also, because the values are repeating many times. Many people will have daughter, spouses, son. And date of birth also cannot be unique, because there is a possibility that one of the dependent of one employee may have the same date of birth. Even 2 dependents of the same employee can have the same date of birth. If some employee has twins, they will have the same date of birth. So none of these can make the key, and that's why dependent is a weak entity, and we represent weak entity with the help of double rectangles. And whenever there is a weak entity, we need to identify, because there is no key attribute, but we need to identify a partial key. And that's why here dependent name is the partial key. And see here, instead of that kind of strong line, we have dashed line to specify that this is not full key, this is partial key. So what do we mean by partial key? Let's see that. We need to find an attribute which has unique value for a particular employee. So can date of birth be a partial key? All the values of date of birth related with a particular employees, can they be unique? Can those values be unique? No. Did you get my question? All the values here for all the dependents related with one particular employee, can that set have the unique values? No. Because there is a possibility that that employee may have 3 dependents and 2 children born on same day. Right? So this set, all the date of birth values for a particular of dependents related with a particular employee may not be unique. So this cannot make partial key. Similarly, can the relationship make partial key? For this example, it seems like that. But there is a possibility that employee 2 may have 2 sons and they might be born on different dates. Right? So relationship cannot make, because if you see all the relationship value, of dependence related with the particular employee, the values may not be unique. Now come to dependent name. All the dependent names related with the particular employee, will they be unique? Most probably yes. A particular employee dependents usually don't have the same name. I usually won't give the same names to two of my children, or like the example I have given before. So most probably this set is going to be a unique. That's what we are trying to figure out here, that for a particular employee, all the names of the dependents will be unique. There won't be repeating values. And that's why dependent name is the partial key. And later on, when we will make the table, we will use this value along with some values from employee to make up the key for dependents. But we don't need to go into that detail now. Only thing is that if there is a weak entity, you need to figure out the partial key, right? The participation of weak entity is always total because a weak entity cannot exist on its own. Why? If there is no employee, will there be a dependence? No. So the existence of dependent depends on existence of employee. And that's why this relationship is a different kind of relationship which we show with the help of double diamond. And this relationship is called identifying relationship. Lots of new terms, but once you will do assignment 2, all this will be a piece of cake for you. So far all the relationships we have seen were single, which are normal relationship. But whenever there is a weak entity, it has to have an identifying relationship with at least one strong entity. This is always the case. It may have normal relations with other entities, but it has to have an identifying relation with one of the strong entity. And here in this case, that is with employee. Because without employee, dependence cannot exist. Okay? So this is identifying. This has to be always total. Cardinalities can be anything. This can be partial or total. Depends on the problem. Okay? So this is one case of weak entity. So we saw these things, cardinality ratio and participation. Here they are calling those participation thing with existence dependency constraint. The thing which we were figuring it out with total and partial. There is a different term used here. Optional participation is partial participation, non-existence depend, and then there is mandatory, which is total. What is this noise came from? I hope the roof will remain like this and nothing will fall over us. Okay. All right. Can you think about another weak entity? Maybe from the problem area you have chosen. I have one more job now. If I will not be successful as teacher, I can be good as photographer maybe. Okay. All right, let's try to think about another weak entity. I don't know whether this is true here, but the place where I was student, this was very common thing. Where I was studying, if there is a huge class, we were divided into different sections. At that time, I'm talking about ancient time. At that time, there was no modern technology, so obviously, teachers cannot speak so loudly to 150 students. So usually, just to have a good interaction, we were divided into small sections. And then these sections used to have the classes at different places. So this is depicting that. So every course, if we make it in a tabular format, so if this database course would be in my place, it would definitely have sections. So suppose we are talking about database course and there are 150 students, which is not the case here, we are just 100, there will be three sections, usually 50 each. Let's suppose if there is another course, suppose programming, again, with many students, there can be two sections, section 1, section 2. Now, if you see here, or if we put the data for others, we will see that there are no attribute which can provide us the unique value for all the rows. And that's why this is a weak entity. And here, usually the section number can give us a partial key. Because for a particular course, all the section numbers will be unique. We cannot have two sections of database course with the same number. So these values will always be unique, but a section number of another course can have the same number as the section number of database course. And that's why this is a partial key. So this is another example of weak entity, and there can be many, many more examples. Once you will start doing the second assignment, you will come to know there may be cases, and later on, after when we will finish this in the second hour, we are going to discuss some of the case studies, and then you can also see that there are many cases where there are weak entities. Okay, let's try to finish this so that we can do. We have to discuss three case studies today. All right, then there is one last thing we need to discuss before I give you break. The attributes of relationships. So far we have seen attributes which are related with the entities, right? Course code is related with course, or all those are related with sections. Have we seen any attribute related with the entity, its relationship itself? There is a possibility that relationship can have their own attributes. Let's see which cases. These are some examples of relationship attribute. For example, employees are working on project. We saw this relationship last time also. Employee is described with the help of social security number and other attribute. Project has project number as the key attribute, and there are other attribute. Now these employees are working on these projects. If I remember correctly, it's an M2N relationship. Not all the employees are working on projects, so it is partial here. Every project has some employee working for it, so it is total from this side. Now we want to, because a particular employee can work on many projects, so they may need to keep the timesheet, how many hours they worked per week on different projects. So that can be the relationship attribute. Now the question can be, why can't it be attribute of one of the participating entity types? Can you figure it out? Number of hours. Can an employee be described with the help of number of hours? Does it seem like that it describes employee? No. Can it describe project? No. Basically, what we are trying to store here is how many hours an employee is working on a particular project. So this describes something about the relationship. How many hours working a particular employee on a particular project. So this is a relationship attribute. If we will put it here, number of hours, then every employee have, then the number of hours will be associated with projects. So every project will have single value. So suppose if it is 4, then every employee has to work 4 hours for that particular project. Because you won't have the flexibility to store different values for different employee. So we cannot put it here. If we will put it here, later you will understand it better. If we put it with employees, then it will be associated with employee. And suppose if we put the value 4, then that employee has to work 4 hours on every project, which is again not a practical solution. And by keeping it as a relationship attribute, we can have different value. Employee 1 working on project 1, 4 hours. Employee 1 working on project 2, 2 hours. Maybe different values here. And this is another example which we can discuss after the break. Let's have a break.
guess if we're going to Sweden, it's a food.
Shall we start? All right, before we start, I want some volunteers from you for the reference group. How many of you are here from web development group? Could you please raise your hands? Any one of you, can you volunteer to be in the reference group? It's better if you volunteer yourself instead of me picking anyone. Any one of you who is not in any other course reference group, because it is too much to be in the reference group of all the courses. Please, one of you volunteer from web development and from GIS and from geomatics. I need three people. We are not moving forward until I get three names. And remote students, if you are listening, I am looking for one remote student also. So please contact me on my email if you are interested in being in the reference group. Yeah, just your name and email. You just have to take three meetings, 20 minutes each, that's all, nothing else. And give me feedback for the improvement of the course, that's all. From your group of students, you will just collect the feedback. Anyone from geomatics? Anyone? Can you be? You are from geomatics?
Yes.
Okay. So you can be. By chance I came on this road and he was near. And one more, web development. This is for reference group. You will be giving me the feedback to improve the course. Anyone from web development? I know one web development person here. Just talk to him. So if nobody, he'll be in the reference group. He doesn't want to see me. Anyone else? It would be better if you volunteer yourself. Happily give your name. Then me saying your name and then feeling like a punishment. Anyone? Any girls? Yeah, we should have the equal gender opportunity. A girl from web development. Any girl from web development? Is there any girl from web development group? Please raise your hands.
Those two.
Where? These two? Okay.
I've seen them in my shared classes with them.
Okay. So just tell me your name and email. Yes, please. Whoever has a good handwriting can start writing the name.
I was forced last year, so I won't doubt.
Okay, but last year maybe the teacher was different. So you will have different kind of feedback. It will again be a nice, enjoyable journey. This is for your own good. If I'll not know what's going wrong in the classes, I won't be able to improve. Thank you. Thank you, all the volunteers. Volunteers or not, thank you anyway. All right, so what we were discussing? Relationship attribute. Please pay attention now. So another example is, there is a set of ingredients and there are set of recipes for different food items. And we use those ingredients to create those recipes. And here we have all the attributes related with the ingredient. And here we have all the attributes related with the recipe. And how much quantity of a particular ingredient is required to create a particular recipe. We have eggs. Eggs we are using in many, many recipes. Are we using the same amount of egg in all the recipes? No. So that's why we need to know how much quantity of a particular ingredient we need to use to create a particular recipe. So quantity is the relationship attribute here. So this is one example. And later on you will see many, many examples. All right, so in this chapter we have basically studied, we have seen this partly in many examples. Now if we combine that whole, this is a company database. We saw this small part many times on Wednesday and today. So employees are working for departments, employees manages departments. Then we have projects, so departments are controlling the project and employees are also working for projects. We have dependent as a weak entity, employees have these dependents, and then we have a recursive relationship. And in every relationship you can see we have cardinalities and total and partial. We are not going into that again because we have discussed each one of these relationships at some point. And this is the relationship attribute we just discussed there. Right? So this is the whole company database. And there is a derived attribute also, multivalued. There is a composite also. There is a partial key also here. So there are all the things which we have studied so far. Now before going to the ternary relationship, this is the only concept which is left in this particular topic, this particular chapter. We have discussed all the other things. You can see here, this is what we have studied so far basically. All the notations here. Entity, weak entity, relationship, then identifying relationship, which is always associated with one weak entity to a strong entity, double diamond, simple attribute, key attribute, multivalued, composite, derived, total participation, partial participation, one to many. We are not using this notation. So you don't have to worry about that. This is the same ER diagram in different notation, UML notations, but you don't have to know this. There are so many notations there are, and there are various ways you can represent the same ER diagram. So you just need to know the one which we are discussing, followed by our book, that is called Peter Chan's notation. This is the first case study we are going to discuss. This is the notation which we are using. You don't need to know the name, but still those who are interested. Okay, please read this case study. These are basically the data requirements, like you are going to make in assignment one. But this is a very small set of data requirements. Yours is expected to be bigger. Because we are just starting, so that's why this is a very simple example. Read it, and then we will study. We will discuss it, and then we need to make a ER diagram out of this data requirements. Usually in data requirements, there is much information is there which may not be used in making the ER diagram. It just is a background information used to describe the area but not used to make the ER diagram. So you will find the same here also. The information for making the ER diagram basically starts from the second paragraph. So try to identify first the entities. How do we locate the entities from the data requirements? First sign is there if something is described with the help of many, many things. Like if they say, following information is kept about each race. This. That is the sign of an entity. Just let me know when you finish reading. Have you finished reading? Okay. So, first paragraph is, in this particular case, is not useful for creating the database ER diagram here. It is just kind of a background information. So, we are going to read from the first line of the second paragraph and we will try to identify the entities and the attributes. So what does it say? That the organizers of the race record the following information for each race, such as race ID, total number of runners registered for the race, online pre-registration is possible, the actual number of participants, the number of female runners, the number of male runners, the date, and so much more. So let's start from there. So it's clear, whenever something is described with many, many things, usually that is the sign of an entity. For each race, we are storing this. Another sign you can say, following information about each participant is recorded. Social security number, this is again a sign of an entity. Right? So here we have at least two entities, and one is race and another is participants. Okay, now if there are two entities, there should be at least one relationship. We can't have entities just like dangling in space. So can you identify any line, or should we first do the attribute and then we will see what is left? So basically for the race we have race ID, we have total number of registered participants. So these are registered participants, actual participants is also there. So maybe there are more registered and comparatively fewer actual participants on the date of the race. And then we have number of female runners. And we have number of male runners. What can be the key attribute here? Because if we cannot find the key attribute, then it has to be weak entity. Then we need to figure out the partial key.
Race ID
can be the key attribute. Is there a possibility that one of the attribute can be derived? Can you think? We have total, yeah.
The number of female and male runners could be derived from the total.
Both or one of them? If you know total, can you derive both of them? Or you need to know at least one of them to derive another?
Yes, you need to know at least one of them.
One of them. So we can have either the number of male runners as a derived attribute or number of female runners as a derived attribute. Because if we know the number of participants, and suppose if we know number of male runners, then we can subtract this and we can figure out this value, isn't it? Or if we know this and this, we can derive this, right? So one of them can be derived attribute. Okay, what about participants? We have social security number, and most probably this will be the key attribute. We have name, birthday, and there is a certified personal record. I'm writing the short. Okay. Now try to figure out what can be the relationship. There should be at least one. There can be many. Yeah. Yes. So this races are won by these participants. But there is one obvious one. You can only win when you run, right? So this participants are running in these races. And there is a date specified which you can confuse that it can be the date of race, but it is more appropriate to put it here. So participants are taking part in these races on these dates. And then they are, some of these participants are winning those races. And when they are winning, what kind of title they are winning? Because there are many, right? Is there only one winner? There are multiple winners. So there should be something like type of winner. Whether that person is a man master, runner of age more than 40, or women or male winner, etc., etc. So this seems to be the main, but there is still some things missing. What is missing? When we create relationships, what are the two things we need to specify? Cardinalities and total partial. Here, there is no information given about that. You need to assume by your own experience. So, a race is a participant can participate or run. How many races? Many. A race is participated by many, right? So, it will be a participant can participate in many races. A race has many participants. A race can be won by many, because in this case we have many winners. But there may be case that there is only one winner. But in this case we have many. A participant can win many races. So both are many to many. Now let's talk about total partial. Every race has some participants. Yes, it's total. Every participant which exists in this set is participating. Now this can be a tricky question. They may be participants, but they all may not be participating in all the races. So it can be partial. Every race has a winner? Usually, until it is not suspended and something happened and it rained or something. Every participant is a winner? So it is we wish, but it's not the case. So this is partial. So this is a solution of this, but this is very simple. So let's go to little bit complicated. Please read this. And we have one more coming up afterwards. This is very well written. You will find everything because this is from one of the exam of previous years. So usually the problems which we give, we try to be more detailed in that. So it's very well written, not like the previous problem. So you will find all the relationship, everything here. try to make your assignment one just like little bit like this, point wise, it will be easier for you in the next assignment to convert it into ER model. And if you will also explain about the relationship in the first assignment itself, then you don't need to think again in the second assignment. So try to be as descriptive as possible. Did you read? Okay. No? Okay. Okay, complete. All of you have read? Shall we move? Okay. So, it's very straightforward. Can you tell me? Entity? Read the first point itself. It's an entity. Professors have a social security number, a name, an age, a rank, and a research specialty. So we have professors. Is it easier for you to identify now or pick the entities from the data requirements? Can you identify which one are entities and which are relationships? So whenever it is written that something is described with this, 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 most probably it is an entity. So we have social security number, name, age, a rank, and a specialty. And then the second point, projects have project number, a sponsor name, a starting date, an ending date, and a budget. So project is an entity having project number, sponsor name, a start date, an end date, and a budget. Please identify the key attributes from these two entities. It's not specified in the book, but they are obvious. For professor, obviously, social security number is the key. For project, project number is the key. Then the third point, there are graduate students who can be described with social security number again, a name. So we have graduate students. That can be described again with social security number. There is name, age, and degree program. And social security number is the key. So far, good. Okay, let's read the fourth point. Yeah. In this particular problem, it's not, is it given? No. So, in the exam, when I am giving you the data requirements, you are supposed to stick to that. You are not supposed to add anything there, right? But in your projects, in your assignment, you are free to assume whatever you like. So, basically, in the exam, if I give the data requirements, I expect you to read them and make the ER diagram according to what I have specified. So it needs to match my data requirements. But in your assignment, you can assume, yeah, there can be advisors. there can be a recursive relationship here. But right now our objective is to make ER diagram according to these data requirements. So we only assume when something is necessary and not given. Okay? Let's come to the fourth point. Each project is managed by one professor. Okay, what does it specify? How we will depict this information, the fourth point. There is a relationship between professor and project, that these projects are managed by these professors, and we call it principal investigator. Then the fifth point, please read it. Each project is worked on by one or more professor. What does it mean? Yeah, but where? In this relationship?
A new relationship.
Because the fourth point says, each project is managed by one professor. So this information is given and we are calling it as a principal investigator. And another one is, each project is worked on by one or more professors known as project's co-investigators. Now, professors can manage and work on multiple projects. So basically they are saying that a professor can manage multiple projects and a professor can work on multiple projects. What does it mean? How we will represent it? A professor can manage many projects. A professor can work on many projects. So let's make this M. It looks much better, M to N, instead of N to M. Then the next point, each project is worked on by one or more graduate students. Now they are not talking about professors working on projects. They are talking about students working on projects. So this is an indication of a relationship between graduate students and project. And it is saying each project is worked on by one or more graduate student. So it shows that there is many this side. Okay? Then there is one more entity came up. Department have a department number, a name, and a main office. It's a very small board. Okay, so we have department, which are described with department number, most probably the key. And then we have department name and the office. Sorry, it's being a little bit messy here. Now it's saying, next point. Departments have a professor who runs the department, known as chairman. How we will put that point? Department have, yes.
Put that point as a relation between
department and professors. Does it give more clue? Departments have a professor who runs the department. So a department is chaired by a professor. Then the next line. It's going to be more messy. Please read the next point. And someone else this time, try to figure out what does it mean. Yes. So first we need to establish the relationship. So will it be the same or will it be a new relationship? There will be a new relationship. So let me use a different pen, then maybe it will be more easier too. So departments, these professors works on this departments, and for each department they work in, a time percentage is associated with their job. What does it mean? Yeah, you told, right? It's a relationship attribute, which is basically here. Can people sitting in the last bench see what I'm writing here? Okay. What? Yes. Okay, well done. Next time I'll try to... It's a sign that it's not very readable. Okay, next time I'll try to be more... I'll try to write in a better way. Okay. Now only 2 points are remaining. Graduate students have one major department in which they are working on their degree. Little bit more things we need to make. What does it mean? How we will establish that? It is saying something about graduate students have the department, the main department, one major department in which they are working on their degree. So it's saying something about this and this. A new relationship. So this is the major department. Do you have here the concept of major and minor programs in Norway? A student can be major in one department and can be part as a minor program in another department? Okay. So each graduate student has another, okay, the thing which you were talking about, it is here. Each graduate student has another more senior graduate student known as student advisor who advises him or her on what courses to take. Okay, a big sentence. Where to put it? So it seems that the graduate students have, yes. It's a recursive relationship. So graduate students are advising some other students. That's what it's saying. Each graduate student has another more senior graduate student who advises. It seems we have covered most of the things, but is it complete? No. So now let's start finding the cardinalities, total, partial, and everything else. So we figure out some of the cardinality, but some are still remaining. Let's first figure out only the cardinalities, then we will pay attention to the participation, or should we try to tackle one relationship at a time? Okay, one relationship at a time. So this we have already figured, it's one to many. we need to find out whether it is total or partial on any of the sides. So, each professor is a principal investigator? No, so it will remain partial. Each project has a principal investigator? Yes. So this has to be total. Each professor, what's happening? Okay, let me take a break. Each professor works on project? Is there some information given here? No. Yeah, but we don't know from this side.
Well, it says can. Doesn't that mean it's partial then?
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think?
Partial.
There may be professors who are only doing the teaching and not involved with any of the projects, which is normally the case in the real world. So it has to be partial. What about from this side? Each project has professors working under it? Yes, otherwise how it will finish? Okay, so we did two of them. Okay, now let's try to work on this. This is similar to what we have seen in employee department company database. So, professors are chairing the department. So, a department is chaired by one professor. A professor can chair. Is it written here? Let's see if there is something else written here. Where is the department? Yeah, it's not specified. So it can be many also. A professor can chair many departments, but does it happen? Okay. Let's see if the professor can work on many departments. If they can work on many departments, then they can chair many departments. But if they can't work on many departments, they can't chair many departments. So let's first do this. A department has many professors working for it. A professor can work on... Is there something?
Yeah.
Professor can work in one or more departments. And for each department they work in, there is a time percentage involved. So this is M to N. Right? So if they can work in many departments, there is a possibility that they can chair many departments as well. Lots of responsibility, by the way. Anyway, so we figured out the cardinalities. What about total and partial? Let's first figure out this one. Every department has professors working for it. Can you find a department where there is no professor working? No. So this has to be total. Each professor works for some department because it's given one or more departments. So they have to work for departments. Okay. Each department has a chairperson. Does each department? Yes, total. Is every professor a chairperson? Partial here. Okay. Let's see this one. Graduate students have major department. A particular graduate student can have how many major departments? One. A department can have how many students majoring under it? Many. Okay. Every department is a major department for some students? Most probably. Every student has a major department? Can you find some students who doesn't have any major department? Not possible. Okay. What about works on? A graduate student can work on how many projects? Many. A project has many graduate students working under it. So it's many to many. What about total partial? Every graduate student has to work on project? Is it written here? It is written here that each project has one or many. So every project must have some students working under it. So it's total on this side, but I'm not sure about this side. Every student is working under project, or can you find some graduate students who are not working for projects? Depends on how we perceive the project. If we are only talking about the research project, which is run by the professors, and sometimes the graduate students are also associated with it, then there is a possibility that it is partial. But if we are talking about normal projects, which every student has to take to complete their degree, then it has to be total. Okay, for now, let's suppose it's total. Okay, the last one is remaining is the advisor relation. A graduate student has how many advisor? One. An advisor can advise how many students? Many. Does every student has an advisor? Is every student is an advisor? No, that is partial there. So it seems this is our ER diagram. I should have thought about the, if I would have made department here and graduate students here, it would be more clear. Anyway, what's the time? Okay, there is no time remaining for the third. So we will do it next time then. Don't forget the submission date for assignment 1. I'll post it on Blackboard. Okay. But you can take, no problem.